Well, it's good to be here. I tell you, I like it when the Lord gets a hold of me. He kind of let me know last night and this morning again that I'd be preaching, but He didn't get me settled too good to just a few minutes ago. So, if you would pray for me. If you would turn in your Bibles, please, to Philippians chapter number 1. I've preached this before, but I didn't really have time to go over it this morning. You know how it is, folk, or preachers, if you're a preacher. And, boy, I do appreciate the good preaching that we've had. Brother Edwards, a great message last night, wasn't it? I'm just going to be myself. That's the only other person. I mean, that's the only person I know how to be. And sometimes I shout. Sometimes I run. Sometimes I cry. I'm just going to be me. Amen? If you would, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to preach for just a little while this morning on some folk need to find a tomb. Some folk need to find a tomb. In Philippians chapter number 1, let's start there, verse number 21. I probably said Philippians 3. Let's go to verse 1. I'm very nervous. But there's a place that I want to be in my life that I've certainly not gotten there yet. Matter of fact, I'm a little disappointed in myself. I'm a lot disappointed in myself sometimes with how much time God has to spend on me trying to get me to the place where I want to get to. I'm not there. And I don't know if you can waste God's time. I guess you can, but I feel like I waste God's time a lot. But this is the place that I want to be at in my life. I really desire it, but I've not gotten there, so I pray you'd help us. I tell you, a dear preacher, Dr. Stennett Blue, preached a message along these lines a few years ago, and it kind of stirred my heart up, and we springboard from that. Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 21, Paul says, "For to me to live or to enjoy life is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire." In other words, he has a heart set for heaven. Amen. But he also has a heart to remain to do the work of God. He said, "Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And if you would go over to Philippians chapter number 3. Let's begin reading in verse number 9. "And he found, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the privilege. God, I'm keenly aware of where I stand. And Lord, it is my desire to be of help, to be of encouragement. My motive is pure. And my heart, Lord, is as right with thee as I know how to be this morning. And I pray you'd bless this message in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now I want to start off by saying that Paul had an experience that resulted in his desire to go to heaven. You know what Romans says in chapter 5 and verse 4? And it says, "And patience, experience, and experience hope." And patience, experience, and experience hope. There's nothing, friend, in it that does hope any more better than having an experience. I'm glad that I started out this walk and I started out this journey in faith. I tell you, somewhat blind faith. But then I had a few experiences with God. Amen. I've not probably had that which some of you's had, but I've had enough, and I've probably not had what Paul's had, but I've had enough to know that there's something real about this faith that I look for. Hey, Stephen, when they started off describing Stephen over in Acts chapter number 6, they said he was a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. They started out describing Peter's faith. They said he's full of faith. And they said it again later on down about 3 or 4 verses. They said Stephen is full of faith. But then when he goes over and he gets ready after he's delivered the message on his heart, and he begins to be given over unto the Pharisees and the Jews, and they began to stone him, they did not describe him as a man full of faith anymore. He no longer needed faith. Are you with me? Because he had arrived at the point, hey friend, that he knew he was getting ready to go home, and the Bible said the heavens were open, and he began to see Jesus awaiting his arrival on the other side. Friend, but until we get to the point where Stephen is, we need faith. Paul said, I've had an experience. Paul said, and that experience has increased and stirred up and put a fire and a burning and a hope in my heart that I did not have before. I'm telling you, friend, we need some folks to have an experience with God. Now, don't get off with me here. I'm not charismatic, but I am old-fashioned, Bible-believing, Holy Ghost-filled, friend. I like it when God gets hold of me and I get the I can't help it. I like it, friend, when sometimes I might want to shout and sometimes I might want to sing and sometimes, like this morning, the tears just overflow my soul. I'm telling you, friend, I want an experience like Paul had. I tell you, if we could get the church to have an experience like Paul had, we'd have a whole lot better services. Hey, I'm telling you, when the old sinner comes in off the highway, friend, and they begin to get around the fire of God and the experience of the people of God, it'll do something to them. You say, how do you know? Well, I saved attending a Southern Baptist church. And I wandered in on the dirt parking lot of a little independent, fundamental, Bible-believing church. They hadn't been long got started. And I ran into God about the first time since I'd been saved. I ran into God. And that crowd got to preaching and got to shouting and got to crying and got to loving on one another. And that experience, Brother Wynn said, did something to me. But Paul says in verse number 9, he says, I want to be found in Him. He said, I want folks to perceive that I have an intimate relationship with Christ. When they see me, I want them to see Christ in me. Paul said, I want to be found in Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. He said, and I want to be made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I've had such an experience. I now have such a desire in me that I want to live as if I'm already living on resurrection side. Hey, can you say that? Paul says, I want to live, not like the dead. He said, I don't want it to be noticeable that there's a black dog and a white dog struggle with on the inside of me. And we do have that. He said, but I want it to be found. I want it to be seen in me. That when folks see me, I want them to see Christ and none else. I don't want them to see Paul. I don't want them to see the deeds that Paul's done. But I want them to see Jesus in me. He says, I want to live and I want to walk and I want to preach and I want to act as if I'm already on resurrection side. That's what he was saying. Amen. Now stay with me. And he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Go to verse number 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And then he said, not as though I'd already attained, but either were perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend, I may lay hold on, I may seize. Paul says, I want to grasp hold of that which has grasped hold of me. He said, I want to get it to its full potential, to its full power. I want all of what God has to offer this side of glory. I'm telling you, an Iraqi soldier said this. He said, it's not that bad being in the army. And we're all in the army of God. But he said, the problem comes when I get my marching orders. Come on now, stay with me. Have you ever reached to the point in your life that you're fully 100% surrendered and sold out to Christ? That He has all of who you are, all of what you are, all of what you have, a friend, to offer Him. It's one thing going to service, but are we sold out? Are we surrendered? I don't hear a lot of preaching on surrendered anymore. And friend, till you get to the place where Paul's at, I'm telling you, cannot fully be used of the Lord. There's always that limit. There's always that restriction on God. There's always that holdback. There's always a wall. There's always something that says, oh, not quite that far, Lord. Amen. And friend, Paul goes on to say, he says that I am in a strait betwixt two. He said, I know that it's much more wonderful to be with Christ. He said, but friend, Paul was not foolish enough to believe, friend, that he should stay here on earth. He knew that there would come a time that he would go and be with the Lord. So Paul, being betwixt two, what caused Paul to feel this way? We go back to the experience. And I believe it's over in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. I believe it is around 57 A.D. Paul had an experience with God. Remember, he had an outer body experience? And he said, there's things I've seen that I cannot utter. Hey, Paul had an experience with God. An experience with God. I'm talking about a God that's real, friend. Hey, I know that the charismatic crowd puts a little damper on us sometimes, and we're afraid, and we're offended, and we're scared that we'll be associated with that crowd. But Paul said, I've had an experience with God. He said, man, I was called up to the third heaven. I've seen some things that I can't utter. I'm telling you, that experience did his hope good. Paul said, because of this experience, I know, hey, I've just about seen my hope. My hope has come almost full-fledged. It's come almost to my face. And because of this experience, he said, I can go on just a little bit longer. Amen. But I'm telling you, some folk need to find the tomb. Now, this happened around 57 A.D. But in Romans chapter number 5, verse 4, that was about 58 A.D. Then now Paul can say, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. He said, my patience brought me to an experience. I waited patiently on the Lord, and the Lord revealed Himself, and the Lord showed Himself. And now I've had that experience. Now there is hope because of my experience. And in other words, friend, let me put it like this. I was saved, and I was just getting in by the skin of my teeth. If I could put it that way, I know if you're saved, you're saved, you're getting in, you're getting in. Amen. If you're in the family of God, you're in the family of God. But that's all I was saved. I knew nothing else. I received nothing else at the preaching of God's Word while I was sitting. But I wandered in on this little independent Baptist church. And they began to preach. And God began to deal with my life. And God began to deal with my heart. And the preacher preached on my sin service after service after service. See, I hadn't had no preaching. Amen. And friend, I'm telling you, the experience that I had there began to compound itself in my heart and began to work in my life. And because of that experience, I went a little bit further than I started out. Amen. But Paul says, Paul goes on to say, he said that I've had an experience in between 58 and 60 A.D. Then he goes over to Philippians, which was written around 63 A.D., and Paul comes to go. He said, I can go just a little bit longer because of my experience. Now, stay with me. He said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And friend, can I say that we need to spend some time. Now, I know we preach others, and I know that Jesus was for others, and I know that our heart should be to others. But I'm telling you, friend, you're going to have to spend some time on you. You're going to have to think about you. Hey, Paul says, I'm concerned about me at the moment. And if I get me right, there won't be a problem with others. If I get me right, there won't be a problem with the church. If I get me right, there won't be a problem with serving God. You know what Paul said? Now understand, friend, that we're going to have to change our mode of prayer. I'm going to tell you how I pray. I do pray, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me. Put the desires in my heart that you want me to have. Lord, bless me and enlarge my coast and keep me from evil that I might not, friend, be grieved in my heart. Are you with me? Hey, that's the way Jabez prayed. He prayed the prayer, said, Lord, bless me. Hey, Solomon said, give me wisdom. Hey, friend, the blind man said, Jesus said, what wilt thou that thou have me to do? And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Listen, he didn't ask for a bigger cup. He didn't ask for a bigger corner. He didn't ask for a bigger crowd. He said, Lord, the root of my problem is I need my sight. I'm telling you, friend, you're going to have to get you right before you can do anybody any earthly or heavenly good. Are you with me? We've heard so much preaching on others, and I know that's what it's all about. But friend, until you and I are at the place where Paul was, we're not a whole lot of heavenly good. Are you with me? But Paul said, I need to know him in the garden's surrender. Now you know that the Gethsemane means press. And before we can get to where Paul's at, we're going to have to allow God to put His hand on some areas of our life that are hindering our walk with Christ. In other words, God, and here's how it happens to me. Sometimes God's got to get me here, then I'll scoot out from under that press and run back there, and it gets a hold of me again. And it doesn't matter wherever I move, God's press is still there. And God always puts His thumb on the same spot. Though I move, He follows that same spot. And when God puts His hand on that area of my life that needs His attention, hey friend, the best thing I can do, Brother Winstead, is sit right down right there, let God do His work in me and on me and through me, and go ahead and take care of the problem and go on to the next obstacle that's in the way with me. Amen. But see, friend, God will scoot out from under that press of God. We'll scoot out from under that message. We'll scoot out from under that preaching. We'll scoot out from under that Holy Ghost conviction and think it's gone away. And we'll run outside the door and I'll be doggone if you don't follow us home. Are you with me? It doesn't matter how many times you move or how many times you try to get out from under that press is still there. You say, well, preacher, what is he doing? There's something in mind in your life that he is not pleased with. And until we deal with that problem, till we deal with that thing that's hindering us, till we surrender unto the press of the Lord, amen, till we surrender unto the God, Gethsemane's press, friend, we're not going to go any further. And I've learned I might as well go ahead and get it over with because it don't get any easier. Amen. And he'll take that old press. Come here, son. He'll take that old press and he'll squeeze it. And I'll move over a little bit and he'll follow me and he'll squeeze it. And he'll keep squeezing and he'll keep pushing and he'll keep putting his hand on that area that's my problem. Are you with me? Paul said to apprehend that which has apprehended you. Hey, he said to feel or to get to the place like you're living on resurrection side, you're going to have to surrender to the press of the garden. You're going to have to surrender to the press of the God of heaven on some things in your life that are a hindrance. That's what he said, friend. We're begging to God to stop the press and relieve the pressure. We're saying, God, remove the pressure. But what about if we just say, Lord, go on. Your grace is sufficient. Put that pressure there. Keep it there. Lord, I trust you. We've heard that God's too wise to make a mistake and he loves us too much to do us wrong, but we don't really trust him to do everything and handle everything in our life. I mean, you are like me, ain't you? Matter of fact, I like to give God a hand once in a while, don't you? Lord, I just don't trust you with that. Lord, you ain't going to handle that just right. I'd rather handle it this way and then you bless it. Come on now. Say amen. Ain't that the way we are? But friend, until we allow him to press that point and that part and that thing in our life and do away with it, he's going to keep right on pressing. That's right. And can I say, friend, wherever that thorn's at, when God gets to pressing on it, that brace and that grace and that balm of Gilead is enough that after a while you don't even feel the old thorn. After a while you don't even feel. Once you just let go and let him, after a while you don't even feel that old place that God's pressing on. That's right. Paul said, I must know him in Gethsemane's surrender. I must take the press and live by faith that God's going to do right. And he said, I need to know him in the gate of suffering. He said, I want to know the fellowship of his suffering. Isn't that what he said? He said, hey, he said, I must know him in the gate of suffering. Jesus suffered in the flesh. Man, what better picture did we have than last night that Jesus suffered at the hands of sinners, friend, for you and I. Jesus suffered. Why in the world would you think not that you wouldn't suffer? Amen. Hey, friend, can I say that he suffered in the hands of sinners? Friend, when I got saved, I thought everybody should be saved. Did you? I mean, hey, I wasn't called to preach, but I was doing a lot of preaching. I thought everybody would want what I had. I thought everybody would get excited. I thought everybody would have a song in their heart and a spring in their step. I thought everybody wanted to go to church. I thought everybody wanted a good King James Bible to read them to sleep at night. Hey, I thought everybody would give up their drug habit. I thought everybody was excited as I was. It's not that way. Hey, friend, can I say he suffered at the hands of saints? Hey, some fled. Simon Peter denied him. Some tried to stop him from taking him. Hey, friend, he said, no, that's not what we want. Hey, can I say he suffered at the hand of God? Hey, he hung on the cross. What was it? 9 hours in the ninth hour. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He suffered at the hand of God. Did he not? Hey, friend, can I say that sometimes God will isolate us into a place of darkness where he can work on us. Well, I've been there more than once. I don't think I got it the first time around. Amen? And sometimes he'll get us to a quiet place of darkness where he can make us and mold us. You say, preacher, what is he trying to do? He's trying to get us to Philippians chapter number 3, down there where Paul's at. Paul said, I want to be found in Christ. I want to win Christ. Now, he didn't have to win his salvation, but he said, I want to have the complete and whole approval of Christ. I want to win the favor of God by my life, by my surrendering, by my hope, through my experience. I want to win Christ. That's where I want to be, though I'm a long way from there. Hey, can I say, friend, we need to know him. I'm almost done. We need to know him in Golgotha's sacrifice. He died to his family. Mary was there. He died to his friends. They tried to protest. And matter of fact, they threatened to die too. Can I say that he died to the flesh? He gave up the ghost and said, not my will, but thy will. Can I say, friend, it was a glad day in my life. I hadn't been married long and hadn't been called to preach but a couple of years. And I had one of those old skeletons from sin's past. And hadn't had much problem with it right after I got saved, but just a few years after I was saved, the devil, I had a 23-mile drive from home, from work. And I didn't have no problem early of the morning when I was in that old smokehouse out there praying, getting close to God. But after I'd worked in the world all day long, and that old 23-mile drive from home, that old devil would drag out those old skeletons, that old skeleton in the closet, and he'd shake it in front of me. And I'm telling you, the mental anguish of what he would put me through. I almost got to the point. He almost had me so defeated and so discouraged that I was ready to give up. And can I say that the biggest stick that he's got is the stick of discouragement? That's the biggest one he's got. Honey, if he can get you discouraged, he can take care of the sinner and the saint alike. They're no problem. Are you with me? And he just about had me. I just about was to my end. And one day driving home, I said, God, I began to drive down the road and weep and cry. I said, Lord, if you don't get me through this, if you don't give me victory through this, if you don't help me through this, I will not make it. I'm talking about mental anguish. And he took care of it. I prayed through that day and God gave me peace and I've never had a problem with it since. You say, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to get over here where Paul's at. I'm trying to attain. Hey, friend, I'm trying to live like I'm already on resurrection side. That the tug of the flesh and the weight of the world and the way of the world and the philosophy of the world does not drag me back. But that I'm so full of God and that I've had such an experience that I live like I have attained, like Paul talks about. And he said, I need to know him in the garden surprise. I'm getting ready to close right now. Can I say there's three evidences of living on resurrection side. When you look behind, there'll be an empty grave. Amen. Hey, friend, when you look back, there'll be empty garments. Amen. What kind of garments? Hey, garments of past vices. Garments of those weights and those sins and those things that hindered your walk with God. You can be free of those. Amen. Hey, can I say that, friend, there's the weight of other gods, the weight of other vices. Hey, when you look back, there'll be an empty grasp. We know that death cannot hold us. We know that we already have the victory. We know, friend, that we are going to the resurrection side. Hey, friend, what about Stephen? Hey, his faith was complete all the way up to the time they started to martyr him. And friend, his faith became complete when he saw Jesus stand up at the other side. Matter of fact, Jesus held back the actual stoning, what it was supposed to take place. Are you with me? He called it off. Throwed the flag in and said, whoa, wait a minute, he's one of mine. You have to study out the text or study out the culture of the stoning of that day. He said, he's not going to go through that. Jesus rescued him from the stoning. See, he was supposed to, when he knelt down on his knees, if the first stone didn't work, he was supposed to have been turned over and stoned with another stone by his accusers. Jesus never did let that happen. He rescued him and took him home before that happened. Amen. Can I say, friend, that when Joshua tried to get the crowd to cross Jordan, that which they were afraid of, once they crossed over, they realized that their fears were not any good. That which they feared was not really worth fearing once they crossed over to the other side. And that's really what Paul's talking about. Hey, that's a type of crossing over in the Spirit. That's a type of living a life full of the Spirit of God, full of the Holy Ghost, walking with God. Hey, all your fears, the fears that they had before they crossed over, were to no avail once they got on the other side. They realized, why in the world didn't we do this a whole lot sooner? Amen? Hey, folk, we need to find us a tomb and die to this old flesh and walk in a life that's filled with the Spirit of God. Can I tell you, friend, you can trust God. You can trust God with whatever your problem, whatever your fear, whatever your heartache, whatever your burden is. You can trust God. But we're going to have to turn it all over to Him. Surrender it all over to Him. Amen.